a feedback loop in place and how to create one that works. Business decision-making versus personal decision-making. Many of the systems and models described in this book are used today by today's business leaders, but note, they are just as effective in personal decision-making. This means you can apply them in your job, at home, or at school. You can use them when making decisions with friends, family, or colleagues. Along these lines, many of these systems can be used in a collaborative setting with multiple actors providing data and opinions. This means you can easily include others into the decision-making process if you so desire. Having said that, this book focuses on individual decision-making, where you are the sole actor. Two quick notes before we begin. First, we're going to cover a lot of material in the following pages, but don't feel intimidated. We'll get through it together, step by step. Second, while we'll spend ample time covering this material, we're not going to waste time. You'll notice How to Make Better Decisions is a fast-moving book. There are no stories, as you might find in other self-improvement books. There's no unnecessary investigation into psychology or scientific research. In other words, no padding. The purpose of this book is to provide the material you need in a no-nonsense manner and show you how to use it. How to Make Better Decisions is, above all else, an actionable book. To that end, let's get started. Part 1. Understanding Our Decision-Making Process. We make hundreds, sometimes thousands of choices each day. Most of them are small and inconsequential. Examples include those that concern what we'll eat, what we'll wear, and whether we should take a nap today or continue to peruse Facebook and Twitter. Experts claim we make over 200 decisions each day regarding food alone. Weightier decisions require greater care and assessment. These are the ones that carry larger consequences. Examples include quitting a job we hate, starting a family, leaving a toxic relationship, or finally buying that big-ticket item you've long dreamed of owning, a sports car, a large house, a boat, etc. Before we can learn to make consistently good decisions, we need to evaluate how we currently make them. This section of How to Make Better Decisions will investigate the factors that influence our decision-making. Some of them are detrimental to the process and lead to undesirable outcomes. Highlighting them is the first step toward removing them from the process. Removing them will save us a lot of wasted time and avoidable regret down the road. It's important that we accept responsibility for our decisions as well as the outcomes they produce. Admittedly, doing so is difficult when things turn out badly. If you're like me, you'll be tempted to absolve yourself of blame, chalking up undesirable outcomes as a result of misfortune rather than poor decision-making. But there's immense value in accepting responsibility. It reinforces the truth that we can exert massive control over our lives via our choices. These are the reasons we must examine our current decision-making process. Let's dig in. How we make decisions. You cannot make progress without making decisions. Jim Rohn. We like to think we make decisions logically. We imagine ourselves meticulously weighing our options and choosing the most rational one given our circumstances. In reality, we tend to rely on our intuition and emotions in the moment. This is certainly the case when we make unimportant decisions that have minimal effect on our quality of life, e.g. what we eat. But we also do so when making decisions that carry greater consequences, e.g. starting a family. While emotions are unquestionably beneficial in most situations, they complicate the decision-making process. The role of emotion in decision-making. Humans act with emotion. We think with emotion. We deliberate with emotion. Everything we do is done from an emotional perspective. This may seem counterproductive, but it's actually a welcome trait. We need emotion to live rewarding lives. So we should expect emotion to play a significant role when we make decisions. Emotion may seem like the antithesis of logic, and therefore an obstacle to our making rational choices, but it serves as a valuable guide. Having said that, it's important to prevent our emotions from playing a dominant role in our decision-making.